Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. And it is a glorious Thanksgiving. Woof, woof. Let me explain. Thanksgiving is not just a Hallmark card of colonial Holocaust. It is actually astrologically timed. It is always the first Thursday, Thor's Day, Jupiter's Day, sacred to Jupiter, intelligence of storytelling and blessing and gratitude, after the sun enters Sagittarius, which it did this morning. This is the earliest possible Thanksgiving. Ooh. And for bonus points, full moon. And for further bonus points, the full moon, you know, is also with Jupiter. Jupiter just entered own sign of Sagittarius for the first time in 12 years. So it's this confluencing of allies and this fabulous proffering that we may all be, you know, agents of reciprocal blessing and wafting woofy well-wishing into the welcoming world. Woof, 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 woof. Why not? So here be a portion of my Bioneers presentation, which was October 2018, Democratic Animism Now, with wonderful musician Stella Mara, you know, and a very woofy audience. So for much more of their music and Malarkeyarchy and the whole talk, it's available at coyotenetworknews.com. And here we go. We will start off with some very serious ancient chants. one is, as we know, precedes, right? So it's time to metabolize our conniption fits, right? Everything. So let's outgas together, everybody. All right. That's quite enough. All right. And then, All right, and then let's do it three times together. So what goes along with that is something, you know, again, what is liberating and what is imprisoning in our language and our thoughts? So got to is sort of like outsource Saturn, creates resistance immediately. Get to, opportunity. So join with me, team. Got to. Get to. Got to. Get to. Got to. Get to. Right, we've got to save the world. No, we get to save the world. There we go. And the, the third chant that goes with that is from Stormy Daniels' tweet, in which, as we know, Trumpelstiltskin criticized more women, you know, more women than Saudi Arabia last week. And I am a big fan of Stormy Daniels. I went to her strip club act in D.C. It was most nourishing. It was like receiving, you know, darshan from Amaji for people with planets in Scorpio. It was like, oh, it was very soothing. It was like, oh, right. So he dissed her a horse face, you know, and so she came back at him with this great tweet, because she is a great metabolizer of poison. I really do admire her. And again, this is part of our dynamic. We are calling in tonight everything that can help each one of us to be agents of cool response in a hot, reactive world, right? So reaction is prison, response is to ally with nature's genius. And she is really good at that. But her tweet ended with, game on, Tiny. Right. So I think we might want to do that too. Let's do that together three times. Game on, Tiny. Game on, Tiny. Game on, Tiny. Excellent. Nothing can stop us now. That's really good. Right, so she is remarkable. She's born on St. Patrick's Day. I like bringing up what we excavate for the hidden thing under the tyrannical thing. And there's a wonderful story, apocryphal story, told about St. Patrick, that he's invited to a druid dinner where he's given a cup of poisoned wine. Wait, I have one. And so what he does is he holds the poisoned cup of wine up to the light. The poison rises to the top. He blows it off like froth on a Guinness. Whoa! And he quaffs the drink. And toasts everyone, including those who tried to poison him, causing the elders to go, a real initiate, right? So he didn't drink it and die. He wasn't a martyr. He didn't go, oh, no, I hate it when people give me poisoned wine. No, he metabolized it. And that's part of our dynamic. You know, as we dive into the heart of evil and monstrosity and everything, you know, part of the dynamic is the Dementors of Doom, you know, and the Chaos Magicians, they thrive on conflict and heat and anger. So they do things that, of course, give rise to that, naturally, but then it is our task to metabolize that. Please don't feed the Dementors, right? To metabolize that into desire, anger into desire, the all-inclusive story, going, we have a better story, we're going over here. So it's like things arise and then we cook them. But Stormy Daniels also is a truly fantastic horsewoman. She's a serious steeplechase equestrian. And I love this quote from Augustus Hare, who says, half of the failures in this world come from reining in our horse as he's leaping, right? It's really good, right? So we have a number of magic horses. Everybody here gets a magic horse, and you get a magic horse, and you get a magic horse, and you know, and so we kind of vow, you know, that before, you know, many of us might feel that resonance that opportunities or things came along, and we were like, no, not quite. No, let me just go home. You know, because there are planets in Aquarius overhead right now, and I like to quip, we can be lonely on our own, but it takes a group in which to be alienated. No. And so it's like, although we're changing that with ally etiquette, this is a good wolf pack, you know. But it's that sense of like, no, I just rather go to the beach. No, but we go, we're making vows, and the big all around us, you know, is ready to receive them this night, you know. And so in our hearts, we go, right, next time we're not going to rein in our horse. And Stormy Daniels has on her Twitter feed just the most beautiful photo I've ever seen of human and animal. She is one with this horse as they're leaping. She's not pulling it in at all. And it's like, whoa. And so to have that image going, all of us on our magic pony, you know, we go, right. Because it is in the fairy tale when the hero or heroine, the fairy tale begins, almost always with a betrayal. One is tricked into an adventure one did not want to take, but it's going to turn out to be good for everybody in the end, but almost always accompanied by a wise pony or a wise animal. And when they get to impossible things, the burning river, the glass mountain, the pony says to each one of us, let go of control so power can come in. This is the Pluto theme. Let my reins be slack, and you hold on tight, because I know how to do this, right? So it's a quality of us that resides within us. You know, it's our Mars, our wise animal, our instinct, the energy we run on metaphorically and literally. May it be good for all beings. You know, and we say, right, this quality of intelligence that knows what to do when the mind does not. Especially useful now. I like saying to myself and others, mind is a wonderful thing. It's temporarily of no use at all in the circumstance that we want these other qualities of intelligence. And I love storyteller Gioia Tempinelli, traditional storytelling opening in Sicily. It says, there are five ways of traveling, walking, crawling, swimming, flying, and how we travel now. Woohoo! Woohoo! So off we go. So it is time for Bodhisattva Coyote creation myth that Stella Coyote and I came up with. It says, long before there were humans, there was liberating trickster who sets the whole shebang going with a sizzle of lightning. And this sizzle of liberating lightning goes through all the flora and fauna, and every now and then it gets orthodoxed or inquisitioned. These are important themes, or imprisoned or whatever. So it becomes an incredibly great escape artist, an escapade artist. And it moves through all of nature and into each one of our hearts right now. We know how to do this. You know, and, you know, it is coyotes have been seen watching trappers lay traps, following along behind them. Thump, 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 thump. And the trappers move on, and the coyotes, you know, dig up the traps, spring the traps with a stick as a community service, and then for attitudinal, artful form, they pee all over them. All right. So this is part of our skill set, team. You know, we watch the traps, we follow along behind. You know, it's as Gene Hackman in Enemy of the State, an evergreen movie, says, you know, their strengths are their weaknesses. Our weaknesses are our strengths, right? They are large and lumbering. So like coyote, we follow along, we dig up the trap, we spring it, we pee all over it. So it says we all then, you know, under your seats in an invisible form are everybody's magic backpack with everything that we need, a bag of liberating lightning, you know, that we can hurl at any closed circle and liberate it into a spiral. That's part of that dynamic. So we also say truth is an escapade artist. And we really want to, you know, how we animate things. We've gathered to reassume responsibility for dreaming the world into being. As Rev Ike says, because we draw from all sources, right? If we can dream it up, we can dream it down, right? And dissolve it. So music, our wonderful musical allies, music and metaphor are the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. And we know throughout time, the cave paintings, you know, the death and resurrection show, that humans would gather and each one in their hearts would invite power in, right? We don't source it, and then offer a desirable story to animate. So Venus magnetizes through art and beauty, you know, and then Mars animates what Venus magnetizes, and together they spiral things forth into the memosphere, and that's what we will do too. I went to a pretty good, you know, it's like neuroscience and science are finally proving magic. Bless their little whippersnapper hearts. Yeah, because it was some years back that neuroscience proudly proclaimed, we have discovered that people remember things better when they're in stories. It's like, that's so cute of you. But it was a presentation at the Kennedy Center in D.C., where I'm still your agent. You know, and it was Francis Collins from NIH, who was pretty good. And he had, you know, music and musicians, but also, you know, images of the brain. And he said, when we hear music, beautiful music, that gives us goosebumps, our body releases a cascade of dopamine. Right? And probably other many things, and the brain lights up. And they also put a singer in an MRI and said, sing, and let's see what parts of your brain light up. Whoa. And then just for the imaginative fun of it, they said, now don't sing, just imagine singing. And the brain lit up much more. And we go, intriguing, very intriguing. But they also had a film that they showed of somebody with advanced Parkinson's, which is a dopamine you know, deprivation issue, and a person could barely walk and hardly open the door and walk and turn around. And then all they added was a metronome, thump, 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 and the person was coherent, could walk, open the door, turn around. We go, oh. So we have, you know, the astrological language says Neptune, pretty much overhead, dreams, is the intelligence of dreams, vision, imagination, reverie, entheogens, fairy tales, all of that realm. And it is right now, just for the fun of it, because we're throwing a little attention towards, oh, things even like the midterm elections and the U.S. chart, that the soul of this country, and not just this country, because anything that's anywhere is everywhere, you know, rise up in each heart. We are here as blessings, you know, and so trance, you know, it's how a culture tells itself its own story. So Neptune's in its home realm of Pisces now, that says, you know, all the powerful myths and stories that ever were or will be, and music, are here now. You know, all the myths are rooting for us. You know, there's a cluster in the invisible, which is part of what entheogens kind of open up to us, going, ooh, it's not just us. Ooh. We remember, you know, that in the Mabinogian, you know, stories collected 10th century, but earlier, there comes a moment where the elders get together and they go, oh, the guys just found out they have something to do with children, and things were going so well before that. But we can see what's going to happen, which is that women soon will be property, and you know that we can see this thing in which humans will travel on their individual path until they lose kinship not only with each other but with nature herself, until the earth might die. And then at that point, some people will keep all the value of their individual journey, but join once again in the big participatory realm of woo, right? So Neptune and Pisces, the way I think of it is all the creatures on this planet are meeting backstage now going, what are we going to do about the humans? We got to either kill them or heal them. Let's do both. Let's make everything that has ever moved humans to conscious kinship, anything that has ever moved humans to rejoin the choreography of creation, available for fresh expression. Beautiful old song. So for each of us, by our affinity, our inward dedication magnetizes outward opportunity. We are each given the opportunity to bring something beautiful alive that is needed now. This animistic kinship. So I'm very big on animism. The things that I've carried with me for so long, you know, Lakota Elder saying we didn't hunt alone. Those gifted at trance and reverie could go backstage and broker a deal with wolves and coyotes and we would all hunt together for a season. You know, and if you want to destroy a culture, destroy that capacity through reverie and trance to negotiate across species lines for collective well-being. You know, and so we want to bring that back. You know, and then it's also a wonderful friend who said, you know, the modern concept of worship is so silly. You are great. I am nothing. Now give me this thing. And she said, in hunter-gatherer society and throughout the Mediterranean, there was great reverence and mystery and respect between the backstage, invisible, and the onstage. But the backstage is, but she said it was a much more collaborative relationship. The invisible backstage eagerly seeks invitation to enter on incarnational reality. And we go, now would be really a great thing. So again, it's our responsibility and our opportunity, you know, to invite in. And even if we don't know what that is, you know, come on in, you know, whatever it is that is needed that will quicken the hearts, again, of humans in a compassionate way, that whereby we can dream the world back into being. I do think that entheogens play a huge literal and metaphoric part. Yes, woo-hoo, woo, people, there's actually birds in the audience, that's good too. Entheogens, many people here, I think it's part of nature helping us out. It's not that everyone has to do this, but it does open these realms, like, whoa, and it opens portals. And that's so why I was so delighted also to work with these particular musicians, because there was one Entheo journey in which I had been replaying the great soundtrack, Baba Z's The Prince Who Contemplated His Soul. Again, this music that is so full of yearning, you know, I'm with a friend and I could just feel the portals opening up. Again, this idea of, you know, kinship and going out to all the children and parents, you know, who had been separated going, you know, we are all in this embrace. We are all in this embrace. It's also, I think entheogenic practice, you know, once in the rainforest of Mexico with the likes of Terence McKenna and Jonathan Ott and other growers and whatever. And at one point it was basically a who brought what circumstance. So it can never exactly be repeated because it, there were mushrooms and what, and then you take a swig of water and go, whoa, what was that? MMDA. Okay. But it was one of those moments where we know that entheogens actually increase actual magic. You know, again, increase our capacity for it. And I was in a clearing and, you know, and there was up in the jungle, there was this wild wind and everybody could see it. It was real, right? It was like, woo. And I knew, I talked to my shoes and I go, shoes, the wind god is coming to dance with me. And they're like, okay. And it did. It came down into the clearing and it twirled me around. And I'm like, that is fantastic. That's the best date, like, ever. But it was a real thing, and we're going for that, you know. And we also music and beauty as ways of opening that. So part of the generosity of what is being bestowed on us hapless rogue species, you know, is right now it says the protoplasm of reality is especially receptive to imaginative imprint, right? By again beauty and music and all of that. And also strategic cultural advantage goes to those cultivating intimacy with the power of symbols and stories. And I do love, a friend reminded me of my quoting Lewis Hyde, who says, coyote is lucky if enough con men show up to school her or him. And we go, we are so lucky. We are so lucky. I have not often used before now the word evil, because we want to spiral out of polarity, you know, and I like Neil Douglas Cotts reminding us that the Aramaic is the language that Jesus would have spoken, and what gets translated to us as evil in Aramaic means unripe. And that leaves room for our metaphoric agility, because what do we do with unripe things? We put them in a brown paper bag. So I think it's useful to imagine a giant brown paper bag over Congress, right? And a brown paper bag over Saudi Arabia, a brown paper bag over Trumpelstiltskin, all those things. But it is, you know, and this is an entheogenic, you know, interesting mystery as well, because so evil, corruption, inquisition, the model of possession. Okay, now we're back into Neptune dreams, vision, the collective group mind, what I like to call the memosphere. So we know that, you know, I'm appreciative of Gary Lachman's work, hosted him on radio, his book, Dark Star Rising, Magic and Power in the Era of Trump. And he's a very dedicated, serious, prolific, a history of consciousness kind of guy, an esoterica. And he basically says, you know, Trump is a, you know, mobster cipher. We don't have an administration. We have a crime mob. But the Bannons, right, are trained esotericists in the power of symbol and story in a dark way. He calls them chaos magicians because they thrive on conflict and heat, complete contempt for truth, complete contempt for that which they deem weak, you know, which includes nature. And again, heat feeds them. This is our conundrum. But we know that the Dementors, because I've told everybody, you know, I was at the Republican convention and one-on-one pretty good, but then it was kind of like Shirley Jackson's The Lottery. It was kind of mob mind. And the worst was being invited. And mob mind, I think, is useful. And I think without getting freaked out, the model of possession is a very useful metaphor to understand in our ingenious adaptability to that as a strategy. Because if the worst is being invited, and mob mind means it's available, and we go psychic, psychotic, pressure comes down and erupts through the thinnest membranes of our living team, like, and we're seeing, you know, a lot of violence in that way, and white people psychosis in that way, white people psychosis trending, I go, oh, easy, crazy white people. But I think possession is useful. You know, and Terry Pratchett in his wonderful book, I Shall Wear Midnight, where the young girl witch, Tiffany Aiken, must dissolve the power of the cunning man who has created mob mind. So even, you know, in that book or in our lives, when we go, I don't know what got into me. I don't know why I said that mean thing. I don't know. And it goes, ooh, it was there, right? So then it behooves us as agents of cultural liberation to invite the best. You know, and as Dion Fortune said, the purpose of ritual magic is to spiral into group mind, expanded wisdom and tolerance available for download. Especially here we are safe. You know, again, responsibility, opportunity, you know, to spiral, you know, expanded repertoire of responses available to everybody and people who are in much hotter and more difficult circumstances than we are right now at this moment. But it's also, you know, demons. What do demons want? I view Trump as possessed. And I think you can see when the demon gets bored and leaves him, going, even I'm bored. And it's like, and then it reanimates him. And we go, you know, and so in keeping with the djinn thing, going, aren't you bored, demon? Wouldn't you like to be liberated too? You know, it's like, oh, let me think about it. Okay. But we go, you know, let's just see all the demons, you know, again. Because this theme of evil and redemption is very important. Remember, Milarepa, the greatest saint in all of Tibetan Buddhism, was a murderer, you know, and a highway thug. And it behooves us now also to be welcoming anybody who's gone to the underworld and maybe done terrible things but is willing to come back. We need the awakened imagination of everybody. You know, we talk to NSA whistleblowers who are like, I was there for 40 years and did terrible things, but now, you know, we go, welcome aboard. So whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves, right? So this is a, you know, there's a Ho'oponopono inward-outward kind of dynamic that's crucial to now. And so that takes us to the resonance. Everything's a mystery play. And the backstage gods are like, we're trying to make it really simple for the humans, like Kavanaugh bin Salman, right? And it was convenient of Trump to say, why, you know, Prince Mohammed bin Salman is no more guilty than Kavanaugh. And we go, exactly. Whoa. Well, because it's so resonant, this inquisition, this remnants of inquisition, and how do we metabolize that without feeding the Dementors? So we again have, and then that's why we want to bring in the wrathful Dakinis, right? Let's say that all mythic figures are metaphoric animations of intrinsic intelligence in nature. And so the wrathful Dakinis, how many people have heard of the wrathful Dakinis? That's right. Well, they've heard about all of you. They represent that in nature which metabolizes poison, right? And they were originally, Tibetan Buddhism made them kind of pretty, right? But they're a little bit of the Inquisition of Orthodoxy. But they're not pretty. They're beautiful. And they were originally depicted as part woman, part animal. And they metabolize the poison of anger into the tonic of wrath, fierce protection of all beings. And they metabolize the poison of seduction into the tonic of magnetism, bring everything alive, right? So we do have Kavanaugh bin Salman, and Salman has been called a bully who lectures without listening, and we have this everywhere in the world, this dangerous thing, Italy, Hungary, Philippines, North Korea, Brazil, Saudi Arabia. There is a cold, dangerous wind blowing. And also, we send wishes to the hearts of all people in Brazil. Don't do it. Don't do it. Bolsonaro, again, is the Trump-like racist 27 years of, you know, stirring hatred. And it's just, again, these things are literal and horrifically symbolic. So just the other day was the murder of Mestre Moa de Catende, a capoeira master and advocate for Afro-Brazilian. You know, a beautiful, beautiful human, a living treasure globally, and a Bolsonaro zealot, you know, entered the bar and got into a heated, feeds the Dementor, you know, heated, Bolsonaro is what we need, he's like Trump, you know, and Moa was conversing about the long journey of you know, Afro-Brazilians and the richness of the culture, and the man left and then came back and stabbed him to death. And Bolsonaro, who's again strong man, who goes, you know, no crime, oh, but that's okay, right? And on WhatsApp there's horrific pictures of this beautiful man. We're looking at evil. And when I was talking to a man recently runs an NGO in Colombia. He's Colombian, you know, and said so many people kind of impose their ideas of what medicine people should be and the whole ayahuasca complexity. But I was saying so-and-so might want to do it. He said, ayahuasca is good for everyone. And he said he'd done 300 journeys. And then we were talking about evil. And he goes, I've seen evil. And I go, okay. Was it on an ayahuasca journey? And he's like, absolutely. Ayahuasca shows you evil. And I go, well, this is an interesting conversation that, you know, I'll just bring up a little bit of that I want to keep going forever in a way, because my experience also on ayahuasca journey was absolutely evil. I was inside people being possessed by evil and doing terrible things, and it was like, it's like, I know how this can happen, you know, and around the frame was, you know, people doing shootings and people stabbing people in Montreal or whatever, and the ayahuasca took me inside about how that happens, and it was like, it was not a really, like, other people in my group were like, I met Mother Ayahuasca and she said I was cute and I could move to the jungle and I'm her favorite guy, and I'm like, and all I got was evil, okay. You must be an amateur. But it's intriguing, you know, and so all of it is fractal, right? It's all resonating because the Kavanaugh dynamic, and here's where we bring in, you know, the cooperators are standing by. There's a lot of help. So when Susan Collins gave her brown nose obedience to inquisitional tyranny talk, however, okay, that's why it's not just what it looks like, or, I mean, that is, she's a dingbat for sure, but but at that very moment, Venus, the power of magnetism, was stationing in Scorpio, not to be messed with, wrathful Dakini sorcery, at the very moment that Susan Collins began to speak. And then Venus retrograded and goes on her journey to the underworld, which is what she's doing now, because the Inanna myth is the Venus astronomical cycle. And part of me, again, you know, what heartens us, I could feel Venus and Scorpio going, I got this. you know, I'm going to be conducting the investigation on Kavanaugh. It's ongoing. I'm going to be conducting the investigation on Khashoggi was later, but all of that, and we go Venus into the underworld. But then that Sunday, you know, I just felt so angry. You know, and that's not a default setting either. It was like, oh, you know, there's a huge collective dredging up of the Inquisition, like, oh, and just everything. And I didn't want to do anything that was good for me. You know, it was like, you know, take the dogs out for a walk. No. You know, go have dinner with friends. No. And this dredging up. And the entheogenic experience, the reason I referenced that several miles back, is that I think now is kind of like that, because on that particular journey, and sometimes it happens, you know, when there's a strong dose coming on, it dredges up. It's like, whoa, it dredges up dread. It's like, whoa, it's whoa, into ah. And I think that's where we are collectively right now. It's like, whoa. And so on that Sunday, I was like, whoa. And then only later did I notice the beautiful guiding astrological story that Pluto, death, rebirth, intensity, was stationing that day. And it went direct at 10 p.m. And there are things that I didn't want to do. And da, da, da. But I started, and I could feel the anger turning into desire. Sometimes we get a free ride. I mean, it really wasn't, it was like, oh, it's happening. This alchemy's happening. I was possessed by anger, like, and then it changed, right? It's available. So this fractal, though, because it's so resonant, you know, of Kavanaugh with the hand over the mouth, I mean, of Christine Blasey Ford, you know, and then, you know, that is his judicial policy. It's incredibly relevant. And then the hand over her mouth, you know, and her saying so powerfully and authentically, you know, what is the thing that stayed with you, and she goes, well, in the hippocampus and the thing. No, it was the fact that they were laughing at my expense, right? And then Trump then did that, right? Yeah. You know, and it's all related also to Khashoggi. Again, his last column, okay, Venus retrograded. When Venus transited Khashoggi's Jupiter, Neptune, and Scorpio, the mystery, you know, it's when Khashoggi's last column after his death was published about freedom, about the gag off, about an Arab, you know, news about democracy in Arabia, and we go, ah. So these chaos magicians, again, so it behooves all of us and good-hearted people to reassume, you know, the powers of story and metaphor, so we don't leave it by default. And as we go into these beautiful patterns, they're available to everybody, and we want to animate them in a desirable way that is good for everybody, lest we leave them by default, you know, to the dementors. Because what we're witnessing, the conversation with the ayahuasquero about evil, and I go, evil, I tend to shy away, you know, we don't want the polarity thing, but I said, you know, children being separated at the border from their parents, and he said, that's evil. And we go, that is evil. And the idea of monstrosity feeding on misery, we're seeing that. We're seeing monstrosity feeding on misery. And it's like, it's very strong. So it is not an administration, but a crime syndicate. But again, you know, that's why we're going also for a trickster, against all odds. You know, when we don't know what to do, we invite trickster in, and it's part of our fierce blessing. Let anything we need to know to have a democracy be revealed, rendered harmless, and in the fullness of time, an occasion for mirth somewhere down there. But let's keep in mind that David Pecker, National Enquirer editor, has all of Trump's bad secrets in his safe, including all of his secret deals with Saudi Arabia in his safe, and he's now cooperating with Mueller. And we go, let it all come out, that would be good. So part of that, you know, monsters in fairy tales, all fairy tales have monsters. And that's why, you know, so I was saying, you know, fascism arises in the absence of magic. And magic simply means a willingness to cooperate with everything. But that sense of kinship and wonder, you know, and connectedness to the magic and beauty of the world and expanding the realm of what's conversations are possible. But then, you know, I go, well, just a statement doesn't do it, you know, according to my own dictates. So then I go, if fascism arises in the absence of magic, then let magic rise, right? It's the antidote. Again, this sense of kinship. So, you know, we know all the chicanery coming down the line, that this election, there's so much corruption. We know that the four Native American tribes, you know, in South Dakota were recently, you know, going, oh, you can't vote if you don't have a street address. They only have P.O. boxes. And we go, you know, the voter suppression in Georgia, the thing. And we go, sounds like a case for Bodhisattva Coyote to disrupt things in a positive way. And Native Americans are working on, and you get an address, and you get an address. And, you know, again, against all odds, you know, to this inquisitional hand over mouth, and we go, this assault that we see dissolving, that however, see, the power of blessing is it does not have to be, like, realistic. And we like to say the situation's so dire we can't afford the luxury of realism. So, you know, it's, again, whatever, you know, again, here we are in the entheogenic realms, you know, whenever people hear lies, you know, may a circle of wolves dance around them and take them out into the woods, you know. Whatever, again, we want to avail ourselves of our rich, you know, imagination. And that's why this beautiful astro-mythological language says we have so many qualities of intelligence, it's time to avail ourselves of all of them. So the dead are speaking, you know, Khashoggi is speaking. And also remember, you know, when Berta Cáceres, a beautiful, beautiful environmental indigenous worker in Honduras, was assassinated, her and a winner of the Goldman Awards, her colleagues, her who loved her so much, came on stage at the Goldman Awards and did this beautiful, powerful chant. Berta did not die, she multiplied, right? It's like, and so we might say that as well about Khashoggi. Khashoggi did not die, he multiplied, right? And Moa, the beautiful man in Brazil, did not die, he multiplied. So we might say that, let's say that for about Berta. Berta did not die, she multiplied. You know, Khashoggi did not die, he multiplied. Moa did not die, he multiplied. That we are no longer cringing in front of the Inquisition. You know, and that's the kind of, you know, dynamic. So we play with many powerful things in this time of hyper-yang death frenzy, and how do we dissolve that? And that's another thing I would say, you know, tyranny is compensatory, we need them. There is Stormy Daniels again, game on, Tiny. You know, and then going, all right, if tyranny is compensatory, we need them, then, you know, positive yang democracy is strong enough to be gentle, or something. I give it to you to go mull on. You know, if tyranny is compensatory, we need them, then, you know, go off and fill in the blank as well. We want to play with these things. And then, you know, we're drawing from everything. I love friends who left a message when I was frightened in front of the Pluto force of the IRS, and they left a message going, don't you be sad and blue. You have witches looking out for you. And it's like, oh, that was so useful. Yeah, because I'd put anti-vampire oil on all the doors because they were coming to my house and everything, you know. But they were we couldn't, you know. There is evil, but the servants of evil you can negotiate with, you know. And they were so thrilled, these IRS agents, that I guessed their signs, and I'm not really good at that. A Taurus and a Virgo, very detailed. But this idea of reciprocal blessing, and we knew each other for about a year, and they agreed that what they were doing was silly. And they were so excited to be auditing an astrologer. But they said that what they really wanted to do was to audit real big corporate criminals, right? And so we did a little reciprocal blessing, you know, and it worked out really well. And then they called me up afterwards going, that was great, and now we're being assigned to San Diego to track corporate criminals. Thank you. You liberated us, right? So let everything be an opportunity for reciprocal blessing and liberating, just as a default setting, you know, as part of that dynamic. So, you know, and then just for the fun of it, we go, and let tyranny be terrified. And let tyranny be terrified and sentenced to a studio apartment in Moscow. There you go. Run off a little scam. Also, this part of, again, our beautiful musicians, you know, I so love the music to which they're dedicated, and on the entheo journey going, this music does open up portals, and that sense of, you know, grief expressed through art becomes powerful and inclusive.
it's the quality of that, you know, that opens up our extended embrace of every child and parent. We will not forget you. Yeah, and in fairy tales, you know, when something horrific is happening, the hero or heroine realizes that humans aren't enough, and they go to all the creatures and the animals going, can you help us find the children? Can you help us find the children? And we turn to everything, including, you know, Stamets' great story about slime mold, right? How slime mold redesigned the Tokyo subway, because they're very good at tracking. And we go, oh, crows, oh, slime mold, oh, everything, help us to reunite the children. You know, and that beautiful music, you know, again, feels us, we're wafting out our embrace. We're all in this dream together. There is no cruelty or joy or happiness that we don't all experience in this Neptunian realm. The grief, you know, of Panama City and so much being destroyed with such little Saturn responsible infrastructure. And so it behooves all of us as well to think that government is also our dream, and that we've outsourced leadership and authority to sociopathic dingbats, and no other species on this planet would do that. I mean, really, think about it. There is no Trump wolf. Right? There is no, I mean, they're like, what are you thinking about? You know, I mean, there's no species that would outsource leadership to someone that did not care about the well-being of the pack, you know. So, again, you know, for that model, these important conversations that we have every opportunity, public and private, and standing in line about what should government be, right? What is, it's our Saturn, it's our structure, it's our collective well-being, you know, to protect the commonwealth, you know, for all creatures, for all beings, right, to start this conversation. And even, you know, talking across borders to, you know, Trump supporters in Cleveland and stuff, but they had dogs, you know, I go, well, here's one something we agree about. We want a wonderful life for all dogs. And he's like, you got that right. Anyway, so we build on what we can, you know, and it's also, you know, conversation with deep conservatives, the educated deep ones who are appalled as well, you know, who say, well, what do you know about Edmund Burke? Oh, not much. But Edmund Burke, you know, this conversation about small government, big government is irrelevant, they said. Because Edmund Burke said, the more we cultivate inner qualities of good citizenship, the fewer outer rules we need. I go, this is a worthy conversation. You know, we can bypass all these labels. Remember, we want to throw everything into the cauldron, all tired language, all divisive language. You know, all of that. There's no prison for the unexpected. You know, that we all be agents of liberating in our conversation as well. You know, and if something's, you know, if we goes into a toxic realm of conversation, you go, what animal do you think you might be? And they're like, well, a chipmunk. Disrupt the thing. Lightning, little bits of lightning into the thing, to disrupt the thing, so because there is no prison for the unexpected, unless, you know, and again, it requires that we not, you know, say something in a snarky tone, you know, that, and that brings us also to part of our skill set, and how wonderful that we are all gathered here and everyone listening, good-hearted people, increasingly influential, may it be so, you know, but language is part of our great technology of intimacy and part of our great magician conjuring. So, you know, I don't want to be language police, I just, you know, and I don't want people to necessarily use my words, but to liberate everybody's access. The more words we have, the more intimacy. The more stories, the more intimacy. The more songs, the more intimacy. You know, so, you know, a friend had said, you know, the word symbolic, sim means together and bull is throw. And he said, either we have a symbolic understanding of the world or the world is diabolic, right? That being able to read it symbolically so that we know what forces are in play so we ourselves can metaphorically shapeshift and adopt to be influential rather than just practitioners of tantrum yoga. So, you know, it's again, you know, I gave money to, you know, Heidi Hamkamp, symbolic amounts, Heidi Hamkamp, because that's important. We want that Senate thing, you know, and Beto O'Rourke, and, you know, so my inbox, of course, is flooded with every candidate going, what? We've become of necessity ruthless. So anything that comes in that is like, oh, we're going to lose and it's terrible. I mean, like, you have no language craft, delete. Because fear-based is not really great. People think it works, but I would like fear-based, you know, into the cauldron, you know, so
And also people go, how long will we have war? And I go, as long as we keep using war metaphors. So we're going to wage this thing, you know, whatever. And that is also just part of my, wanting to throw things into the cauldron. Is not to kill them. It's to give them a rest. The word vulnerable is a battle term. It's from war. It means woundable. So a friend was recently saying, oh, I found the vulnerable parts of my friend, and I showed him the vulnerable parts of myself. And I go, well, I don't know if that's really a great relationship. Love makes you vulnerable. I go, no, obsession makes you vulnerable. Love is really good for everybody. But the woundable, and he's like, well, vulnerable means ability to touch. And I go, no, my handy etymological dictionary, it means the capacity to wound, right? And he goes, well, what would you suggest? And I go, well, it's not the equivalent, but we want to just have a fountain of possibilities. They go, well, how about we substitute the phrase where we might use the word vulnerable to say available. I found the available parts of myself and I revealed the available parts of myself, because we're all moving our emotional default setting to woof woof, want to play. Right? And if somebody doesn't, that's okay. Because if we get harumphy about somebody not wanting to play, it wasn't really an offering. Right? Is our manner of relating an offering serves renaissance of ingenuity, or an imposition serves tyranny, no matter what label we stick on our butts? Right? And so this idea of teasing, that our language, our story, and our metaphors be in accord with our dedicated hearts, and our manner of relating as well. Ally etiquette is really crucial, again, among good-hearted people, and that's why Yornis, a great, great trickster, its last ideas associated with it are democracy, equality, synchronicity. And it became very clear from that, because at first I was like, what? That when we treat each other as equals, straight across, it doesn't mean being nice, because nice comes from nescient, which means ignorant, but it means spicy and respectful, and respect means to look at again, re, again, spect, re, 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 thank you, Aretha, re, 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 keep looking, keep looking, keep looking, until you find something that you can respect, keep re, re. And the sneaky forms, see, I think language is one of the sneaky ways in which colonialism wends its way in sneakily into us. I think the war metaphors, I think the use of the word vulnerable, I even find, and see, Yornis Trickster says to all of us, we are big gods, we don't really care what you humans do. We care the manner in which you do it, that it come from freedom and choice. So we can use the word, we're going to fight, but when we use the word fight, our brains are symbolic, and they cascade this adrenaline. So we can say we're going to fight climate change, but it's very hot, in an already too hot world. It's like we're going to engage humans to humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius. I know it's a little long, right? But it's more of a Venusian thing. It's like, okay, we had the power fist. That's really good. Rawr, 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 rawr. But in keeping with the muti I still have left over here, we take the power fist, rawr, 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 Mars, into the Venusian, may it go well for you. Again, everything wants to be cooked. Mars needs to lead to follow Venus. Mars's job within all of us, regardless of temporary age, race, and gender assignment, is to follow Venus. So it's like, that's good, woof, anger, right, into well-being. So that's, part of that dynamic. And everything also, may it be everything into the cauldron. Everything, all teachings, all everything into the cauldron, going, does it guide people to their own autonomy? We don't want any priesthoods anymore, no orthodoxies, no priesthoods, because we are heretics, right? And remember, the word heretic was a term of praise and honor in almost all early forms of spirituality, including Christianity. They go, boy, that, fill in your name, sure is a great heretic, because it means free thinker. Only later, when the liberating teachings are kidnapped into slavery to support the state, is, an orthodoxy. Ortho means straight. Dox is teaching. We like our teachings curvy. Thank you very much. Was heretic get you killed? Again, part of the Inquisition. And I think vulnerable, I'd like to give the word vulnerable a rest. Just to set in motion all of us so that we are crafty. The word craft means power from dedication. So that we're crafty about our words. It's why when people go, no, 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 this is part of our fierce blessing is the daughter of ally etiquette.
So we give critique, and I like to say critique without blessing is complicitous with dominance. And then I would say to myself, where's your blessing, Caroline? You know, because that's also a sneaky thing, too. That's why we all want friends. You know, it's like we don't want to be grumpy about somebody being grumpy or condescending about somebody being condescending. So we're all playing and working on this. But the word condescension means we all go down together, right? Very much like I know and you don't and do whatever. And it's like not democratic, not conducive to a dynamic, magnetizing, irresistible, all-inclusive story of, you know, come on over, that we be inviters to the Renaissance. Come on over, you know, and did you know about this beautiful thing and the work of Janine Benyus and how we can redesign the front of the Japanese bullet train to be like a kingfisher entering water? And it's like, whoa, people love that, you know. Again, to speak to the innocent dignity of the child heart somewhere within all of us, some people tougher than other. We move on, you know, and it's also, you know, the way we, you know, with entheogens or anything, how do we then, complicitous with the Inquisition and colonialism, fend off wonder, you know, in some way? What are the many forms in which prison masquerades as freedom? I went to a free dance the other night going with a little microdose going, I'm up for dancing. And when I walked in, the music was so obedience music. It was like, dum, 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 dum. And there was a friend sitting in the corner. I go, what is this music? And she goes, I call it stupid music. And she goes, they think it's trance music. And I go, it was like, dum, dum. Complex rhythms, yearning. Again, you know, complex rhythms, complex thinking, complex intimacy. You know, again, prison masquerading as freedom. And people are like, oh, you're dancing like white people. And we go, that's a prison. You know, it's you know, even the term, you know, even the term ego, you know, it's like very earnest young people from Whidbey Island came up to me when I was at Cortez, you know, around the fire, and they were like, oh, we are advanced young people, you know, oh, Caroline, what is ego? And I'm like, who asked? Right. I felt pretty good about that. Okay. You know, and then I got to go, because it wasn't a conversation I wanted to get, you know, and it was like, that was the interesting part for me. I felt pretty good about it. You know, and then again, just to wonder, like, do we really want to have an impact? Sometimes, if you're having a heart attack, maybe, you know, do we really want a short, violent encounter as opposed to a long, curvy influence, right? You know, so there's impact investing and impact this. But these words, you know, and so that idea of throwing everything into the cauldron, we can ladle it out again. Does it guide people to their own autonomy? Is it equal Mars and Venus? Is it equal humans and the rest of our kin on this planet? Yes, we ladle it out. No, we throw it back in for another round of bubbling. That's really part of that dynamic. And words, you know, again, there's so much wordplay now, and it's so available. I love, you know, words come across. My screensaver is full of words, you know, ebullient, you know, cheerful, full of energy, 16th century. A wonderful word from, who is it? It's a Native American, but the word is pupawi, and it means the force that causes mushrooms to push up and appear. Pupawi. We go, papawi, and may your day be filled with papawi. People go, oh, you know, and also, you know, if you're talking to across borders to a conservative, that's a good thing. Papawi to you. Okay. You know, just, again, surprising. You know, diaphanous, you know, permitting the free passage of light, going, oh, wonderful. See, whatever we speak of, we're invoking in some way an exaltation of larks. And we go, right. You know, because, see, all cultures, Americans are sort of remedial here, but have had their culture of blessing. You know, and Syria was woven together with blessing. You know, you go, may your day be filled with an exaltation of larks. And, you know, and then you would respond. It's blessing poker. You know, and may you have an exaltation of larks and a diaphanous waft of your lover kissing you on the neck. I mean, whatever. You know, you're to and fro blessing poker. It's also why, you know, we know that women cannot testify because it comes from testes. It does. It's Leviticus, and I grab by my balls and all that is sacred, and I testify. It's a testes thing that you know. But we can ovify. We are ovifying. So also, you know, for the entheogen, literally or symbolically, which is, we say anything is a tonic that increases our sense of kinship. Right. And anything is a toxin that increases our sense of alienation and isolation. And so I do love Neil Douglas Klotz's taking the Aramaic of, say, the Beatitudes and saying Aramaic is this wonderfully Neptunian metaphoric language.
And of course, we are wafting woofy well-wishing into the welcoming world. Woof, woof, woof. So that was the Bioneers presentation for the whole thing with much more music from beautiful Stella Mara and Malarkey-arkey from me. Go to coyotenetworknews.com for the full download. Waft blessing, reciprocal blessing, may it abound.